We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent, it's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
Introducing Meta Ray-Ban Display, the world's most advanced AI glasses. With a full color display built into the lens of the glasses, it's there when you need it and gone when you don't. Send and receive messages, translate or caption live conversations, collaborate with Meta AI, and more. Be one of the first to try Meta Ray-Ban Display. Visit meta.com/Meta Ray-Ban Display to book a demo and find your pair.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Got Lamb wide open on the right side of the end zone. Ryan Flannoy, touchdown.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guest, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth, Steelers Radio Network host Jerry Dulac, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus on the ESPN app and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Hello, SiriusXM Channel 80 listeners. Just because you're driving around in your car or wherever you are and you're bouncing something off a satellite into your ear doesn't mean I don't say hello to you. Because that's the type of guy I am. We say hello also to the podcast listeners. And anybody who listens to us, whatever you want, it's your right. Please also listen to Overreaction Monday, No Contest Wrestling, The Jim Jackson Show, just some of the offerings from us for your ear gate. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this program. Mark Schlereth is first up now that week 11 is in the books. And then in hour number two, Jerry Dulac is joining us. There is a report from my guys, Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, that there is no break. Let's put it this way. There is a break. He doesn't need surgery. Aaron Rodgers does not need surgery, and he's pushing to play against the Bears, which makes sense because he wants to play in Soldier Field where, you know, he's owned the fans and he wants to play the Bears one more time.
Yeah.
He doesn't know if he's ever going to get this shot again. He is pushing to do that. We'll talk to Jerry Dulac on the latest from Pittsburgh, PA in hour number two. And speaking of the Bears, it's interesting. Kyle Brandt knows this, and I will introduce him as such in hour number three. My colleague from NFL Network and one of the stars of Good Morning Football. He has an anytime pass here. Anytime he wants to come on, he can come on. And he just has chosen this moment. He called and said, I can do this Tuesday. I wonder what he's got to say. Interesting. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rich. I would have been better if CeeDee Lamb caught that ball and scored at the end of the game last night.
Is that a reference to something as an NFL employee I'm not allowed to acknowledge?
Perhaps.
Okay. Good to see you, DJ Mikey D, Mike Del Tufo.
Good morning, Rich.
DJ.
I don't want to do what
Mikey
I'm going to do soon.
As in D's Nuts, which is interesting because that's the shirt that TJ Jefferson has chosen to wear today. It looks like your shirt. Don't block it. There it is. It says D's, and then there's looks like some lug nuts on that.
D's lug nuts.
D's lug nuts. Your Dallas Cowboys looked really impressive last night, so go ahead, give it to them.
That's
whenever the Cowboys win, there's that. Well, go ahead, play the one that whenever they lose.
When they lose, I don't even want to do it.
Go ahead,
don't worry.
No, you just couldn't. There you go.
I could find it.
But that's not today.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not today. No, I'm just letting everyone know the way things work around here. That's all.
But really impressive, though, huh? Really impressive?
Very impressive.
Oh.
Very impressive.
I mean, they played a AAA team.
I'm going to.
Oh, really?
No. I don't want to hear that stuff.
Did we discuss this with you last week?
No. I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't want to hear that stuff, and not because it's disrespectful, but no. You wouldn't say that to Max Crosby if he was sitting here.
And, I think he knows he plays for a Triple-A
team. And I'm sure that gets him very upset. And we'll talk about the Raiders later on. But you have to play who you have to play. And you have to play who you have to play no matter what. And what that team did, the Raiders did the last time against the Broncos, they damn near beat the Denver Broncos. And you could say that has a lot to do with the Denver Broncos. But these are grown-ass men who are paid to play in the National Football League, who are on Monday Night Football and don't want to be punked.
I'm just giving T.J. Hart.
And on top of it, you know, but no, I think you're also giving voice to what a lot of people might view the Dallas Cowboys' performance last night. Listen, we all know that Dallas defensively has been positively dreadful all year and almost damn near historically dreadful, but they're not historically dreadful because the Cincinnati Bengals play football. And I know that sounds disrespectful, but it's all just speaking facts about their defense. And this Dallas Cowboy defense allowed a season-low 16 points last night while Dak Prescott showed up and threw four touchdown passes. Ooh. And had a passer rating just south of 139. And it was only the 18th time in franchise history that four different Dallas Cowboy receivers caught a touchdown. And it's just, you got to give it up, man. You got to give it up because this was all done while the team is grieving the loss of one of their teammates. Mm-hmm. And we all know that this Cowboys team was sitting on the bye week coming off of a loss to the Arizona Cardinals, and Marshawn Nealon, we all know, needed some help and decided to do what he did. And it leaves a hole in so many people's lives and hearts. And the Dallas Cowboys showed up with their T-shirts and their memories of him in many different ways, trying to honor his memory. And in the middle of all of that, the head coach, Brian Schottenheimer, found it necessary to discipline his two top receivers by sitting them on Monday Night Football. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens standing on the sidelines watching the Cowboys go three and out. Cowboys get the ball first. And they have CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens standing on the sidelines. So in the middle of everything that's going on with this team, Brian Schottenheimer says, I am benching these two guys. And what did they do? They balled out when they got on the field and had their best game of the year. Now, maybe not statistically for CeeDee Lamb, 5 catches, 66 yards, and the first touchdown of the game. And in so doing, with that touchdown, he broke a tie with Dez Bryant for the third most receptions in Cowboys franchise history, behind Michael Irvin and way behind Jason Witten. CeeDee has 536. Irv's got 750. Jason Witten's got 1,215 career catches. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's eligible this year. He could even be a first ballot guy at the end of the day. And then George Pickens, man, he showed you exactly what the Cowboys were hoping to see when they acquired him from Pittsburgh. And he's exactly what the Steelers knew that he could do. But whatever was going on behind the scenes, and again, we're talking to Jerry Dulac in hour number two, they just couldn't countenance him being on this team anymore. And I guess you saw it all, you know, with him catching a touchdown pass and then celebrating in exactly the same manner that caused a flag to be thrown earlier this weekend as well on Jameson Williams. And he can't say, well, I didn't see it because it was on Sunday Night Football. The whole country's watching. Yep. Unless George Pickens was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be, which may be the reason why he was standing on the sideline to start the game.
Well, in the bed, he wasn't watching.
I don't know. What happens in Vegas stays there. But this is what happens when teams travel to Vegas for a Monday Night Football game. Potentially, we don't know what's going on. But amongst all of that, the Cowboys emerge and they play superbly. I mean, Javonte Williams as well. What a season he's having. 93 yards rushing. and Dak's throwing. And I, again, sit here and say the Raiders stink and this, that, the other thing. It's still a team that still has much of the same guys without Jacoby Myers, who went into week one in New England and beat the Patriots. And I understand that's a feels like years ago for various reasons. But give it up to Brian Schottenheimer, man. Give it up to him. Here he is about sitting George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb to start the game last night.
It's tough, you know. Made a coach's decision. There were some things that were missed, and so I had a conversation with those guys, and that was easy. But, I mean, you look at the energy those guys play with, you know. Clarence, I like, you know, they literally, they jump-started the offense when they got back in there. They didn't hang their heads. They didn't do any of that stuff, and that's why I love those guys, man. Again, this was a great team win.
Just a couple of things. Missed. Practice, meetings, curfew.
Couple things missed. Couple things missed.
By the way, unbelievable that he's being asked the questions by Clarence Beeks, handing off the crop report. That's Clarence Hill, everybody. Who's couple things missed. Won't tell you what they missed, but he's disciplining them on Monday Night Football. Hey, CD. Hey, George. The whole country's going to have you stand there, and it's going to definitely be a first report.
Yep.
And, you know, and Lisa Salters is going to find out what's up, and then there's going to be a whole bunch of speculation. But then we'll put you in the game, and you better help us win. All while the team's grieving. Honestly, in the midst of let's all come together and win one for Marshawn. I'm going to have to sit you down. And this is what he had to say about playing in support of their comrade who is now gone.
So proud of these guys, Calvin. I mean, the way that they grieved, cried, laughed, but they wanted to honor him. And we're not done honoring him. He's a part of our family forever. But it's been tough, man. I mean, these past 11 days have been really tough. And but I'm proud of those guys because just the way they played today, that they played with Marshawn's play style.
Man, give it up to this guy. Because, again, everyone's like, why are you hiring him? He's never done it before. You could have anybody you want. You're the Dallas Cowboys. You got to give it up. He's the consoler-in-chief, and he's the discipliner-in-chief, and he's the head coach whose side of the football that he's calling the plays on looked superb last night in the middle of all this. I mean, that's a heck of a trifecta to pull off and come through with flying colors. Give it up to him, man. And then the defense. Listen, seeing Quinnen Williams up there with Kenny Clark, I know there's a lot of questions about the Raiders' play calling, and we'll talk about it later on, why they threw it 31 times and ran it just, twice in the first half or three times or whatever the split was. It was absurd. Listen, I know Genty's known for having that serial killer pose, but those two guys up front and Clark and Quinnen Williams, that call's coming from within the house too. And then on top of it, what did I say? Who did I point out yesterday? To you, TJ Jefferson, and all Cowboys fans, DeMarvion Overshown.
Yeah.
He only had one tackle, and it was a tackle for loss, so he didn't show up much in the stat sheet, but that guy was everywhere.
He was.
And he is 1,000,000% supercharging a defense. Those guys were buzzing everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I understand the Raiders have problems protecting Geno, and Geno is having problems staying upright, and the run game has been way spotty, and the play calling's off, and I know the Raiders have not lit up many scoreboards, but they can, and they didn't, and that defense didn't look at all like the defense we saw in the first 10 weeks of the season, 9 games for the Cowboys. So now what? I understand. I know what you're all thinking. They're saying, now what? So what? Well, Dak giving some also credence before we move on to what I had to say about Overshown. Hit it.
Special. Overshown's my favorite player. I've told him that. His locker, y'all knows, right by mine. I knew he was going to go out and have a great game. It's just that's because of the way that he approaches the business each and every day with the same attitude. A hell of a leader. Special player. That's no surprise. I mean, he really is. He's really my favorite player.
I love that.
That's cool.
So good feelings for the Cowboys outside of mourning the loss of one of their teammates, obviously. But in terms of football, onward. What a way to go into the game against Philadelphia. What a way to go, because they got to sit there and go, we had them week one. Boy, did we have them. Until they let him off the hook.
Right.
And then there's a Thanksgiving game against Kansas City. Then there's a visit to Detroit exactly a week later. Then there's a Sunday night game against Minnesota. Woo. Then there's a next game against the Chargers. Then they have two against the teams that they're now looking down upon in the NFC East. So, yeah, you're now 4-5-1. Let's see what happens, man. Cowboys going a little bit of a run that would get a lot of people sitting upright in their chairs, and people like you, TJ Jefferson, talking about the varsity being back and all sorts of stuff, and Stephen A. then clapping back. And it would be great. I've got to be honest with you. It would be great. I know Eagles fans and Chiefs fans and Lions fans are going, not so much. But
well, especially with the latter two kind of fighting for their playoff lives right now,
yeah.
Chiefs and Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule, and you know, respectfully, you know how I feel about Washington and the Giants. I look at those as dubs, but man,
sir,
there's some tough teams.
We talk about Brown and Devontae Smith being one of the best wide receiver tandems in the National Football League. Pickens plays like this.
I think we're better.
You can make a case. Because hold on a second, overreaction Monday and a Tuesday. Okay, very good. We'll put a pin in that. Because one quarterback's regularly targeting one of them, if not both of them. I don't know if they weren't Kelly Green. Okay, we'll put a pin in that. But the run game is good. Defensively, they can start buzzing around.
They stopped the run last night.
Well, the Raiders might have done that on their own.
Yeah, we didn't really have much.
But still, when Genty got the ball all six times.
Yeah, he didn't go anywhere. We're definitely better this week than we were 2 weeks ago defensively.
100%.
You know, better with the acquisitions that we got.
Yes.
The secondary looked better. But
well, that's going to work if the front doesn't. Warren Sapp always tells you, front and back end have to work together.
Yeah.
The front seven's much better, buzzing around, covering more ground, getting upfield, stopping to run on the way to the quarterback. Back end's going to look a hell of a lot better.
I like it. There's been a few times this year that Jadeveon Clowney has had, you know, he's turned back the clock at
there
the end of games a little and got a sack or you know, just put pressure on the quarterback. He doesn't do it the full game, but it's kind of like coming in like a closer.
Let's get Philly in. Let's get up early because you got the horses to do that. And tell Philadelphia, better find 11 because if somebody showed up with Janky Rondo after a win, how's he going to sound after a loss? Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's go, Dallas.
Let's get them all. Let's get them all now while we've got them.
Yeah, go full Pantangeli coming out of Vegas, right?
Oh.
Actually, that's a bad thing. You don't want to ever go full Pantangeli. Certainly, you know, in Nevada.
Yeah.
You know, with the gaming commission and all that sort of stuff. I don't want to go too deep in,
Tahoe, going
fishing.
Your brother comes down.
From the first movie, what happens when you're trying to get a drink at the table?
Yeah.
Spoiler. I mean, Vegas, and it's made for it. Okay. Let's take a break. God can't make enough Godfather references on this program ever. Great use of the drop, sir.
Thank you, John.
The best thing about us is it's about us. Listen, we've got ourselves a great chat with Mark Schlereth coming up.
Let's do it.
Jerry Dulac, I want Jerry to show up with the x-ray from Aaron Rodgers' visit. I don't know if he's aware that that's my expectation level.
Jerry might have it.
Maybe I'll text him real quick.
Yeah.
Here, coach.
Let him know.
And then Kyle Brandt's Bears are in first place.
Stop it.
Is that why he suddenly has time in his schedule?
Yeah.
Feels like he had a 20 minutes open up.
It's
weird
timing. I can't wait to bust his stones later.
About what, though?
Good question.
First place team.
He's in first place.
Mark Schlereth coming up next here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio-quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium-quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos. They look as good as they sound. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're chopping it up on the Disney Plus ESPN side of our simulcast. We're also now back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, talking about a wide open league right now, man. I mean, and the Eagles as well haven't been lighting it up on offense in the way that we're accustomed to seeing from last year, but their defense, I was talking about it with Chris on our Overreaction Monday podcast. This may be, again, I know Denver won Super Bowl 50 in Santa Clara, where Super Bowl 60 is taking place, and Von Miller was the Super Bowl MVP of that game. We might see another repeat, right, where a defense carries the day, maybe against an MVP quarterback like they did against Cam Newton in that game. The defense carries the day, and a defensive player is going to win Super Bowl MVP because the defenses, we talked about it last week, are still entering week dozen seemingly ahead of the offenses in this league.
Yeah, it's been incredible to watch, like you said, Philadelphia, what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball, what the Denver Broncos are doing defensively, hell, what the Rams are doing defensively to be able to stop the Seahawks on, you know, four drives and make them kick field goals. Like that's been kind of a theme throughout this NFL season, as some of these dominant defenses and the way they're playing. And you got to remember, in Denver's win against Kansas City last weekend, not only did they not have J.K. Dobbins, their starting running back, but Singleton, their middle linebacker, who's the play caller. He's the extension of Vance Joseph, the defense coordinator, and the best cornerback on top of that in the National Football League, and Pat Surtain. And so they did that and had that defensive performance. The Kansas City Chiefs only converted 5 of 16 third downs. I thought, like, That third down defense by the Broncos, that was a masterclass in coaching and execution by the Denver Broncos defense. And it was, come get a taste defense. We're going to line up and play you man to man, and you can't beat us. I don't care if you have Patrick Mahomes. I don't care if you have your receivers healthy. I don't give a crap. We're going to play the way we're going to play. We're going to bring pressure, and we're going to play man to man across the board. It was, like I said, it was an absolute masterclass in playing defense. And the Broncos are big time legit going into this thing.
You know, and it's kind of wild, you know, back in week four when Baltimore was at Kansas City, that wound up being one of the last games that Lamar Jackson emerged from healthy, even though the Chiefs beat the crap out of the Ravens. And we're thinking, Chiefs are back, here we go. And now both are 5-5 with Lamar healthy entering week 12. And we feel completely different about each of these teams and how they arrived at getting to 5-5, right? So let me ask you this. Starting with the Chiefs at 5-5, like the Ravens and now the Texans are. The Chiefs at 5-5. How concerned are you that they're not going to be able to flip a switch this year, or you're unconcerned, Mark?
No, I'm concerned. I mean, that, like, I'm concerned. I still think, like you said, the Baltimore Ravens are on the uptick. They're rising. Houston doesn't have enough offense. Their defense is exceptional. I just don't think they have enough offense. I don't believe right now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they're sitting there right now, I just haven't seen enough improvement for Trevor Lawrence to think that Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to figure it out. So I still think the Chiefs are viable for a playoff spot. But, man, they got some tough games coming down the stretch here. They've got a, you know, obviously a first-place schedule. And they haven't played enough consistent football, especially on the offensive side of the ball, to make you feel super comfortable. I just think that the other teams ahead of them right now are very flawed. And that's why I think they get in as a wild card playoff team.
Okay, so the Chiefs eventually force the issue on whoever welcomes them into their wild card house to say, we're the ones who are finally going to put the nail in your coffin before the Super Bowl. First one since basically Joe Burrow, right? Like, you know what I mean? So that's what we're, you see as the Chiefs, January path here. From you.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll get in. You can never discount Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Spags, because they're damn good, you know, and they have a track record, pelts on the wall. They understand what they're doing, and they understand what playoff football is all about. I mean, they have more experience than anybody, right? They've been to what, 7 straight AFC championship games. So you know, even if they get in, they're one of those teams that if they get in, you're just like, oh gosh, here we go. It's the Chiefs. And so that's always going to be tough. And they're going to have an opportunity to win it as a wild card team. So you probably just assume they keep struggling down the stretch here and not get in if you're another AFC team. But they do look a little flawed. They do look a little spent right now. And like I said, the Broncos, straight up in critical situations, said, hey, man-to-man, we're not afraid of your quarterback. And it was impressive. And it's just impressive the way they played the Chiefs.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. How far the Ravens go? What do you think?
I think the Ravens, I think they're going to win that division. So they'll win the AFC North. And then it just depends. Like, health-wise, they really struggled early with their health on defense. You know, they still have a couple of guys. You know, Matabuke is out. You know, he's done for the year. Who was really their best defensive lineman? But I think the Ravens are going to get in the playoffs. I think the Ravens could make a lot of noise. They're going to win that division. And then offensively, with the way they do things, to run the ball with Lamar as dynamic and as multiple as he is, they're another one of those teams that in the playoffs I think are a scary team.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. Who emerges from the AFC? I give you that choice right now. What do you got for me?
Wow. Who wins it in the AFC?
What do you think? What do you think? Because like we just talked about how the usual front runners are the ones who are fighting to make it as a wild card, if not for the Ravens winning their division. And then you got sitting at the top Patriots, Colts, and Broncos.
Right.
What do you think?
I think
the Bills are lurking still.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are playing great football right now. I could see, it all lines up. You mentioned Santa Clara, and it makes me think, you know, the last time the Broncos went to the Super Bowl, it was in Santa Clara. You talked about it, them winning Super Bowl 50, Von Miller winning the championship. Who'd they beat in the AFC championship game? Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in Denver, Colorado. How about that as a rematch? I'll take the Broncos, mostly just because I live in Denver. But it feels really good just saying it.
No, I hear you. New England's got they have all the feels, though, right? They got the feels right now, and it's not just that. It's just Drake May's playing out of his skull, and it doesn't appear to be anything but an ascension of somebody maturing and crushing it before our very eyes, with a coach who in his second time around is doing well. in terms of recasting himself and having a better sense of things as a second time around coach. Josh McDaniels coordinating the offense. Does this sound familiar? Is a familiar story to you? And in terms of the Brady Belichick McDaniels era, the Patriots are getting things like, oh, when we face a difficult team or a team that has a terrific player on it, that player just somehow is either A, injured, or B, like Jamar Chase, suspended. Like he won't be there when they're playing on this. This reeks of previous Patriot years when you discount them. Now look at them. So yeah. You can't discount the 9-2 Patriots from doing it this year, Mark. You just can't.
And listen, man, they shut people down on the run. One thing about Braves is like there's certain football things, you know, that never go in and out of style, right? They don't go in and out of vogue. And control and line of scrimmage is so big. When you sit down and talk to Vrabel, it's like this is what football is. And you look at them as far as defending the run is concerned, man, they do a phenomenal job defending the run. They have one of the elite level cover corners in all of football. So it creates an opportunity, you know, defensively to have options on the back end from a coverage standpoint. That's Christian Gonzalez, who is outstanding. And then what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball, you can say whatever you want about Josh McDaniels, you know, in his head coaching tenure, you know, with the Raiders and with the Broncos. The bottom line is that dude can orchestrate an offense, and he gets young quarterbacks to play exceptionally well. Remember, when he had Mac Jones went to the Pro Bowl, although I think as an alternate, but he went to the Pro Bowl and played really well his rookie year. And then, you know, Josh McDaniels leaves to go to the Raiders, and you know, Bill Belichick has this wonderful idea to bring in both Joe Judge and Matt Patricia to be co-coordinators. And, you know, the rest is history. Mac Jones falls off a map. I will tell you that Josh McDaniels is phenomenal as a play caller, setting up plays. And it's not just calling plays, Rich. He calls an offense. So he sets his offense up. He sets his players up. And his quarterback is playing exceptional football. And I give Josh McDaniels a ton of credit for that right now, for the ascension of Drake May.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let me just linger a little bit here on the Jamar Chase suspension and what happened with Jalen Ramsey. Were you in the stadium when Bill Romanowski spit on J.J. Stokes? You were there that day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You have any recollections that you want to share that
might
teach the kids something about how this has been going on for quite some time?
You know, it's not something that it happens a ton. I mean, we started the season.
That's right.
You know, right? We started the season with, was it Jalen Carter that spit toward Dak Prescott. This is just one of those things that, you know, I mean, it doesn't happen very often. It's complete and total disrespect. There's no question about it. I was thinking about my guy, Aqib Talib. If it would have happened to Aqib, he would be suspended for life because he probably would have tried to end Jamar Chase's life in that situation.
So let me ask you this then, because again, you know, Ramsey got the gate and Chase is, you know, he's going to appeal his suspension. I don't know if that's going to work or not. Do you think the NFL, now knowing what it knows, or it is alleging, should tell Jalen Ramsey, are bad for ejecting you, or because, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he was going to. And I understand Chase is like, hey, I was cheap shotted by Jalen Ramsey. It's not like Jalen is completely has the angel, you know, halo over his head here. But the reason why he got ejected is because he got his face spit in, which, as you pointed out, is beyond disrespectful and unprofessional. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you can never take the ejection back, but you can give him his money back and say, hey, man, like, I would love to see that. Our bad. And, you know, and then as far as Jamar Chase is concerned, like, in my time, if something happened to you during the course of a game, like you got cheap shotted, you just tallied that, you put it in the tally thing, and then you had some frontier justice on a couple plays later, you know, and that's how we policed ourselves. Like that, it got to the point where everything was policed through frontier justice, and that's just the way it worked, and it was that's the way you were coached to do it, and I miss those times. So that's, I think that's the way it should go.
Frontier justice. It sounds like you administered such justice at some point in your career, Mark.
Oh, no? Yeah. Not only did I minister it, but I had it administered to me on several different occasions. I can remember more than a couple of times where we threw an interception in a game. And that was always frightening because, you know, I'm holding somebody on every play. So every single play, somebody's pissed at me. And all of a sudden you've got to circle out of there and go try to chase this interception. And I had two guys that knocked me ass over tea kettle. Bruce Smith hit me on an interception so hard in Buffalo once that, I mean, my feet off the ground. He hit me so hard, my head snapped back and snot shot out of both nostrils. And I got up and I was, you're trying to act like it didn't hurt, right? And meanwhile, I'm like seeing stars, I'm dizzy. And I'm trying to wipe because I thought my nose was bleeding and I'm stumbling to the thing. And like, I thought it was my nose. I mean, just so much snot hanging all over the place. And it is like when you're holding somebody on every play, they're going to get you. Leslie O'Neal got me like that too one time where, that's why you have your head on a swivel when you get when you throw an interception, because you know somebody's going to try to lay you out.
Was Elway ever trying to get the guy who's picked him off, or he stayed out of that fray, Mark?
No, back then the rule was as soon as a quarterback threw an interception, defensive line tried to attack the quarterback. Because back then you could hit them, you could block them.
Right.
So, yeah, they went after quarterbacks at that time, which, again, was just that's the way it should be. Threw the pick, you deserve to get hit.
And plus, that old Rich Stadium turf was not like a pillow either, right? I mean,
December game. Rich, oh. December game. Oh, it's freezing. There's snow. No. I mean, it was awful.
A story, Mark, I'll share with you before I let you go. Marshall Faulk told this story to me multiple times because I asked him to retell it over and over again. Is that, you know, he always thought, and rightfully so, he's Marshall freaking Faulk, that he could do whatever, you know, that he could succeed to his Hall of Fame ability against anybody. And so he was very confident. But he remembers the first time when he was playing in Rich Stadium and Bruce Smith came out of the tunnel. And it was, he said, a warm day. So you saw it was a kind of a coldish day. So you could see the heat rising from the turf.
Yeah.
And he was all greased up coming out in his sleeves. And the place was going nuts. And it was like the field was a crown. So you could barely only see, you'd only see the top half of him.
Yeah.
And he remembers thinking, OS, that guy, like he's one of the few guys that actually caused him to have a little hitch in his pregame giddy up, Mark. That guy.
We used to. My offensive line coach, Alex Gibbs, used to say, because he thought Bruce Smith was the best defensive player like ever.
Yeah. Sure.
And he used to say, when I rate players, he goes, I put Bruce Smith one notch below Jesus. He's like, Jesus and then Bruce Smith is right there below him. That's how good that player was. And he was, man. Bruce was unbelievable. Just an unbelievable talent on the edge. Played hard. It could flat rush the passer.
That sounds like a South Park episode, certainly when you're talking Colorado. All right, Mark, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Always enjoy our chats. You be well. Let's do this again next week, if not real soon. Thanks, buddy.
Sounds good, brother. I'll talk to you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Schlereth of Fox, three-time Super Bowl champion right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I just love when he goes down memory lane. Love it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we return, I want to hit a little bit of some ground that we talked about with Shador yesterday before hour two with Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, and Jerry Dulac with the latest on Aaron Rodgers.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started, Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. shopify.com/network.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. The annual Progressive Keys to Progress program provides vehicles to deserving veterans, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. So, let's revisit again Shedeur Sanders and the conversation that we were having yesterday, or at least me going on a diatribe and you guys listening. It looks like he's going to get a start. It looks like Dylan Gabriel's concussion will at least have Shedeur taking the first team snaps this week, his first team practice snaps since the summer. And I just want to reiterate, I'm not of the belief that the Browns are trying to sabotage Shedeur Sanders. I know that's what Cam Newton was saying, and I know I've got rabbit ears of what Rex had to say, that Shedeur is making things all about him. I don't agree with either of those takes. I just think it is simple as they drafted him after already drafting a rookie who they clearly, by the draft position, believe is a better prospect. Usually when you do that, you don't draft a second one. I mean, the only other time I could remember two quarterbacks being taken in a draft for a team that clearly could use one, well, when RG3 went in the first round for Washington, and then they took Kirk Cousins in the fourth round. I remember I looked at Mike Mayock in Radio City saying, what's up with that?
Yep.
Because if Cousins plays, that means something has gone terribly wrong with RG3. And so the fact that the Browns didn't give him any first team snaps during the playing season makes complete sense, because just the way things are working in the NFL today, and they have for a long time, and it's even changed even more practice schedules to be less in pads and less practice time throughout an entire calendar year, that it behooves the league, I think, to come up with ways for completely green quarterbacks to be groansed up. You know? So when they come into a game like Shedeur came into a game, they don't look like either a deer in headlights or completely ineffective to the point where you're wondering why he was even drafted at all. He's lucky to not be playing in Canada, which for him is probably true. I just think it's unfair that anybody would look at him and say, after what he did with the circumstances in which he was drafted and then had no snaps at all, like most backup quarterbacks do, for them to put him in this game. The fact that he even put one on a receiver with the game on the line to try and tie it was remarkable. And so I'm keen to see what he can do against the Raiders, which is interesting because that was one of the teams everybody was pegging to take him in the first round or second or third or fourth or fifth rounds. You know, instead, though, what took them off the chessboard for any draft choice at the quarterback spot this year was hiring Geno Smith and giving him a contract extension that Seattle was uncomfortable giving him and more comfortable giving to Sam Darnold, and yada, yada, yada. That looks smart. But I'm keen to see what he does with first team snaps this week. And if he does, if he continues to struggle, would they go back to Dylan Gabriel and say, in the few weeks we have left to evaluate before we go into this draft with multiple first round draft choices and Deshaun Watson still having 1 year of guaranteed money left, would they run it back with him one more time? And are they going to run it back with Kevin Stefanski? These are all questions for the Browns to answer over the next remaining 2 months of the season. But I think at this point in time, putting all your energies into Shador is the only option right now. Because, and this is another reason why you got to sit here and wonder, they got rid of both veterans. As a matter of fact, wouldn't it be interesting if somehow, someway, Kenny Pickett gets into this game for the Raiders against the Browns? Because they will see one of the veterans that they had, and we all thought they were going to keep at least one, not get rid of one before the season, and then get rid of one 1 month into the season by trading him to your division rival from the same state, leaving you with two rookies. Oh, and Bailey Zappe. So I imagine we might see some Zappe returns if this keeps going the way in which it's going. But I'm wondering if they'll go to Dylan Gabriel and if Shador, this is his one shot with the Browns. And I wish him the best of luck because he will have a full week of reps and we will see if they do things in the off. They have to. If they don't put stuff in for Shador that he's comfortable doing, then that gives credence to the Cam we're trying to sabotage.
Right.
For sure.
And if they go to Zappe instead of him, if Dylan Gabriel's not ready, then it gives credence to the, you never wanted him in the first place. And you have to coach who's in front of you. And right now, whether they wanted him or not, they got to coach up Shador. And beat a Raiders team that is, let's be honest, from what we saw last night, beatable. You know, beatable. You know, run Judkins, throw it to Judy, throw it to Njoku, throw it to Fannin, get Shador out on the perimeter, let him make some decisions, use his legs, use his savvy that he has, and let's see what's going on. But I don't ascribe to they've been sabotaging him stuff. Hour number two coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.